Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Last week, we began a new mini-series out of the book of Romans. We've been walking through the book of Romans since really the first of the year, have taken breaks throughout the year a little bit, but we're in this little mini-series from Romans chapter 8 and entitled More Than. Last week, we talked about that you are more than your mistakes. Let me just say that again, because some of us in the room, even after the week that you have had, you need to hear that again, that you are more than your mistakes. You're more than your past. Your past doesn't define you. Your faults aren't final. We serve a God who speaks a future over you. That's our God. That's the God that you were just worshiping, or who we were singing about. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. I love this passage of scripture. A righteous person may fall down 7 times, but he or she gets back up again. So someone in the room, I just want to say to you, rise up. Get back up. Don't let your failure, don't let your fall define you. So today really builds off of last week's message, you're more than your mistakes. Today I want to talk to you about you're more than your temptations. Every single one of us, as long as you are breathing, you're going to face temptations. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
I'm not. But it's just a reality, right? You don't have to go looking for it, man. They are like a bug on your windshield as you drive across Kansas. It's going to be there. So the goal today is we want to learn how to face our temptations versus falling to our temptations. Our text today is Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 11. Paul writes this to the church at Rome, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. How many know God's word is timeless and speaks to us right where we're at? It doesn't depend on the date of the calendar. You know, you can't say, well, you know, this word would have applied to those that were living when it was written. So, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the Old Testament authors, David, and then in the New Testament, James and Mark, and it applied to them in their day, but it doesn't apply to us. No, no, no. This word is eternal. It is timely. You can have confidence in it. Doesn't matter the date on the calendar. It's timeless. Its truths and its principles are eternal. And his word is a treasure and speaks to the very core of who we are, no matter what the date on the calendar is, because it's God's word. And as we get started this morning, we have to understand that. And we have to understand, as we begin to unpack that you are more than your temptations, we have to understand our first thought is this morning, is that each of us are led by a passionate pursuit. Look at it in verse 5. All of us, no matter if you are a follower of Jesus in the room, or you've just come in the room because you just thought, you know what, I just want to go to church today and I'm not so sure about this God thing anyway, but you're here. All of us, no matter what our belief system is, are passionately pursuing something. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We are either fulfilling the flesh or we're focused on the Spirit. That's what Paul's saying. What does it mean to set our minds on the flesh or to live according to the flesh? How do we do that? Well, the New Living Translation puts it this way, and perhaps it helps us understand that question. It says, verse 5 in the New Living says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. They live according. It means that they absorb. It means that their life revolves around. It becomes their value system. The flesh is our carnal desires. It's our sinful nature. It's the material items that are out there that we think, man, if I could just get a hold of that, it would complete me. It would satisfy me. You could summarize it this way, as when Paul talks about the mind of the flesh, you could summarize it this way: I, me, and mine. It's self-seeking, it's the idea of being self-sufficient, it's this idea that life is about me and my desires and my want. To contrast that, Scripture exhorts us to have the mind of the Spirit. So let me ask you a question this morning. If the mind of the flesh is all about me, then what's the mind of the Spirit about? How do you define that? Well, I think Paul gives us some insight in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, when he writes this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever pure, whatever is lovely, whatever commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about that. So through this series, I want to try to do some different illustrations throughout the weeks. We had a great testimony last week. We'll have another one in the coming weeks. And then other times, I'm just going to try to illustrate it visually, because if you're like me, I like to learn visually. If I can get a picture in my mind, I'll retain it a lot better. Some of you are tactile learners, that if you can just get your hands on it and sit down for a little bit, that's how you learn. How many of you are tactile in your learning style? How many are like you are visual? Man, if I can see it, then it sticks. Or you're auditory. You're just one of those people that just sit in class. And I can just listen to the teacher lecture and then come back a month later and take the test and get the A. I don't like you. Right? But you're just an auditory. I mean, you're just like a sponge. Maybe your spouse is that way, and they're just like, oh, remember you said, and you're just like, oh. But you're auditory. There's the reading and writing style. So there's these different styles of learning. So I just want to give some visual illustration to what we're talking about. When we talk about fulfilling the flesh, it's the idea, it involves immediate gratification. And how many know, when we talk about fulfilling the flesh, it doesn't all necessarily mean it's sinful stuff. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just giving ourselves and being consumed with something. But it's immediate, it's gratifying, it may provide some form of satisfaction, but at the end of the day or at the end of the month, or when you look back over your life after some time, you're like, man, you know what, that really left me feeling empty. You know what I'm talking about? And when we set our minds on the Spirit, it's eternal. It not just benefits today, but it has implications for eternity. It's glorifying, but it's not self-glorifying, it's God-exalting. And when we talk about the mindset, the Bible says in verse 5 that we are led by some kind of passionate pursuit. If you would throw verse 5 up there for me. If we're led by this passionate pursuit. It's either of the flesh or it's of the Spirit. Now, let me illustrate it. And this may be silly, and you might like, you know, poor pastor, or more poor Robin, that she has to put up with illustrations like that. But let me try to illustrate it this way, all right? Because I have two hats up here, hat number one and hat number two. And on hat number one, there is these things that we pursue, fleshly mindset, if you will, of position and passion and pleasures and possessions and power and prestige. And if that's like our pursuit, then all of a sudden that's how you're like living life, and you're looking out through your life, and all this stuff is what you're pursuing, and it's how you're gauging your relationships, and it's how you're gauging your thoughts, and how you're thinking, and how you're responding to people is through a fleshly mindset. Have you ever been there? And you're walking that out, and you're pursuing it, and all these things. In this way of thinking is so easy for us to get into. And the reality is this thinking is the thinking of most people. I mean, you think of the American dream. And people come to America because they've heard that these things are available for them here, and it's a whole lot easier for them to get it, right? People torch relationships because of some of this stuff. People blow up opportunity because they get impatient and they want power. And on we could go. And if we're not careful, these six things can become the focus of our life. And we get faulty thinking that says, these things will satisfy me. If I could just get that position at work, it'll satisfy me. If I could just get that recognition, then I will be fulfilled. It will complete me. It's the thinking of the flesh that verse 5 speaks about. But in contrast to that is the mind of the Spirit, which is hat number 2. And so, as you think about the mind of the Spirit, well, what's that? The best way that I can try to describe that to us, I think, takes us to Galatians chapter 5, where we find the fruit of the Spirit, where you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These nine attributes of the Spirit, if you will, that we're invited to view life through, to set our mind on. Some of you are like, man, this is, I'm gonna take these pictures of you, Steve, and I'm gonna blackmail you. But you're invited to set your mind on these things, right? And it's this idea of thinking not of the flesh. And here's the deal. The Bible clearly teaches you and I that if you've called upon the name of the Lord, I mean, we're going to celebrate in a few minutes. There's some students that are getting baptized after service out front, and they're just saying, man, you know, they're giving a public proclamation of their faith. I have called upon the name of the Lord, and I'm going to follow Jesus, and this is, and to demonstrate that public proclamation of my faith, I'm getting baptized. They've called upon the name of the Lord. They're saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Scripture tells us, you're saved, but not only are you saved, the Bible clearly teaches us what happens to your body, that your body becomes the temple of the Lord. Oh, come on, man, that's like, woo! I mean, you should look in the mirror every morning and go, woo! Right? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. That which is made of dirt, as Genesis, you know, the creation account in Genesis speaks of Adam, God formed him from the dirt, is now the dwelling place of God. Your value just went up. Look, everyone in this room, whether you believe in God or don't, Scripture teaches us that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God. But not everyone is the dwelling place of God. until God moves in because we've surrendered and we've received that gift of salvation. When we receive the gift of salvation, God moves in and you're under new ownership, if you will. From self to the Spirit. Every day when we wake up, though, we get to choose. What mind am I going to function in today? Am I going to function in the mind of my flesh, or am I going to function in the mind of the Spirit? If you're not a follower of Jesus, you only get one option. It's your flesh. It's me, mine, and I. If you are a follower of Christ, and God's placed His Spirit in you, you get two options. I wish there was only one. I wish it was just this one. I wish I functioned and lived here all the time. Right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, and man, and it's such like living color passage of Scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, what you set your mind on begins to shape the value system by which you live your life. True? All of us agree. We can all, no matter what we believe, we can agree with that. Fulfilling the flesh versus focusing on the Spirit. And the tension is real. The Holy Spirit, who is God, very God, part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, if you will, isn't a force. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. Just as much as of God as God the Father, God the Son, He has a distinct role, a responsibility within God's kingdom. And I am so thankful for the relationship that's available to me, to the follower of Christ, to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Spirit that we read about that are active within the church and that are alive and a part and should be a part of the believer's life. I want us to be a church that doesn't ignore Holy Spirit or isn't afraid of Holy Spirit, but wants to grow and to be used by the Spirit of God. At the end of October, on the 29th of October, Ty Buckingham will be with us again for special services on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And, I mean, we're just praying and believing. You know, last time he was here, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. People were healed. It was a wonderful, wonderful time a year ago. But we can grieve the Spirit. We can ignore the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. How does that happen? I think one of the ways it happens is because we live here with this mindset. And every day, as a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, you get the opportunity to live according to the mind of the Spirit. We've all experienced hat number one living, right? I mean, it doesn't take long to know which hat you're wearing for the day. Maybe you're a little bit snappy. Maybe you're getting angry. And how many know, just like when you are just having one of those days where you just, we're talking about your neighbor. We're not talking about you or you're talking about that other person who's just angry. You know, I mean, you go that route during the day. How many just feel good that, man, this just feels good today to be angry? I mean, it makes everyone happy. Right? It brings just the peace and the presence and the joy of life into every situation. No, I mean, people just respond and just like, man, you stink. There's jealousy. I want what they have, and I think I deserve it because I've worked a lot longer. I've been around longer, maybe. I do the same tasks that they do at work, but how come they get the promotion or they get the opportunity and I don't get it? And this stuff starts seasoning you and you start camping here. Some of that tension isn't all bad. It just reminds us that this place isn't your home. So don't anchor here and don't feed those feelings. You belong. You belong to Jesus. You are more than your temptation. So let me move to the second thought, and we're all led by our passionate pursuit, flesh or the spirit, whatever we choose. We get to choose which one is the primary operating system, if you will, of your life. Which leads us to the second point, leads to an obvious outcome. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. It's either a destructive result or a divine result. So the mind of the flesh equals death. Paul's, the scripture's telling us. The mind of the spirit, life and peace. How many of you know? No one wakes up one day and says, man, I just want to be an addict the rest of my life. No one wakes up and says, man, I just want to be an alcoholic. I've seen that work out really well for people. No one wakes up one day and says, you know what? I just want to ruin my marriage. And so I'm going to go find a fling. I really want my kids not to like me. No one wakes up and makes that the goal and the objective of their life. No student, no kid says, you know what? My goal in my life is to make my parents absolutely miserable. I am going to be the most rebellious person that they have ever seen. That's my goal. I want them to get a bumper sticker that instead of saying, my kid's an honor student at such and such school, it's going to be, my kid wants to be the most, the greatest hell you've ever seen. You know? Some of you are like, some of the parents are like, he's talking about you. No one does that. Man, it's the slow fade of living according to the flesh, making it all about us. But then we have opportunity in that the Spirit of God begins to change us from the inside out. You don't have to choose the outcome of living in the flesh or by the flesh. You don't have to choose to live that way. The honey-dipped lies of the enemy, when that says to you and I, listen, man, if you fulfill this craving that you have, this temptation that you have, man, it will satisfy that craving and you know, it'll all be good. But how many know that craving invites you back? Right. It lies to you. It calls you back for more. When craving is obtained, though, then you find, man, it's empty. I need more of it to satisfy or whatever, however it plays out. And in the end, it offers death. And the opposite of that, though, this is, I love this in verse 6, is life and peace. That idea of life is meaningfulness, it's substance. And peace is this idea of tranquility, it's harmony, it's prosperity. That God is saying, if you do things my way, I have a better way, and the result of my way is life and peace. And here's the benefit of that life and peace. Okay? It just doesn't affect you. But it affects those who are around you. Those who come after you. I mean, have you ever been around someone where it just seems like chaos follows them? It's just like, man, everywhere they go, it's like eventually their friend, chaos, shows up. And the result of that is there's this restlessness. There's this nothing satisfies and makes or will make them happy. And there's just this discontentment going on in their life. It's never enough. And you and I, hopefully we're not that person, but if you know or you've been around someone like that, man, I don't know about you, but I just get, like, tired. And when you live, though, according to the Spirit, there's something in you that represents something that this world can never offer you. That is the good news. And your reward for living this way is Jesus. In Jesus is life and peace. John 10:10 says it this way. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly, or some translations say life to the full. All, and as you think about this, is okay, the mind of the flesh, the mind of the spirit, all temptation, since we're talking about you're more than your temptation, all temptation is filtered through three lenses. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 talk to us about that. There's the filter or the lens of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Look what John writes in 1 John 2. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. How many know that truth is just not new to John? When John wrote that, I mean, you can take that truth of that spiritual truth and take it clear back to Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, the lust of the eyes. She saw that the tree was delightful to the eyes, Genesis 3:6. The lust of the flesh, she took it and ate it, Genesis 3:6. And the pride of life, Genesis 3:5, and you shall be like God. And when we choose to eat the forbidden fruit, when we take the mind of the flesh, the result is that we feel like God doesn't love us. We feel like we're not good enough. We feel like we failed too many times. We feel like, you know, whatever. And the result of living there or thinking that way is seeds of shame, guilt, and fear. But if we choose to live according to the Spirit, it isn't fear, shame, and guilt that we live by, but it's freedom. It's forgiveness. It's fruit. And all of that is the opposite of fear, shame, and guilt, is it not? Yeah. So the question then becomes, how do you do it? Well, three quick thoughts from the Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 tells us, how do you do it? Well, you die to yourself, you put your mind on Christ. The second one is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. And then take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We'll come back to that one here in a few minutes. So we have the passionate pursuit. We have the outcome. Next, I want you to see this, the longing for an abiding assurance. Look at it, verse 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we set our minds on the things of God, and you know what happens. The manifestation of righteousness and the proof of the resurrection begins to display itself. If I could illustrate it this way, say you're hanging out at your house, or you're at work, or driving down the road, or whatever, and your phone's just kind of in the room, but not in your hand. Have you ever had it happen to you? Where you're talking to someone and you're just having this conversation and you're like, man, you know what? Have you seen those new pair of Nikes? Those Nikes are just like, whew, they're like, I love those new Nikes. Or you begin to talk about some outfit or your dream to have a red Jeep someday or you know, your furniture that you want or a mower or whatever. And you're just talking, having conversation, not thinking anything about it. And then after having that conversation, you jump on your phone or your iPad or your whatever device that you use, and you're like, man, I'm going to see what's going on in the world, see what's happening in my social media feeds, and you go to your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever feed you use, and all of a sudden, there's a picture of a red Jeep going there. Have you ever had stuff like that happen to you? There's, you know, you're like, man, that trip to Cancun, it must be the Lord. It's right there on social media now or whatever. You know, that item, all of a sudden you're getting like pictures and advertisements and all this stuff. How does that happen? Some of you are like big brothers in the room.
Yep, that's right.
We're going to go on. Let me try to bridge that to your spiritual life if I can. The things that you talk about, the things that you set your mind on, are the things that are going to stop popping up in your life. Set your mind on the flesh. Set your mind on the spirit. Boom, 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 boom. Right? When we set our minds on the wrong things, those things are going to start showing up. Man, you're just mad. You're just angry. All of a sudden, everybody is like your enemy. This is my aisle. Aisle 9, Walmart, this is my aisle. Get out of my aisle. Everyone's just like in your way, and it's just like, right? When we set our minds on the wrong things, those things are going to start popping up. When we set our minds on the right things, on the things of God, it's those things that will keep us on the right track. What you set your mind on is really important. We need to be careful about what we watch, what we listen to, how our conversations we're entering into. Look, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to, you know, like draw a hard line. But the reality is garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Right? Stinking thinking isn't going to help.
No.
Christ in us produces righteousness and healthy things grow.
Yeah.
In that environment. The Holy Spirit is always going to produce growth in your life. And when I put my mind on the Spirit, then He's going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control in my life. And the same Holy Spirit, listen, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead allows you to be more than your temptations. And I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The reality is we're as long as we live, our feet are on this soil, on this earth, we're going to have temptations. That's the reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 instructs us, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. The ESV version says this, take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
So your takeaway is simple. Set your mind, guard your heart, and watch your step. Set your mind, guard your heart, watch your step. If I could illustrate it this way, this glove is your mind, okay? These bucket of balls are our temptations that are just waiting to be lobbed at you. You have a problem, you don't have a glove, and I got the ball. Now, what are you gonna do, right? Anyone sleeping? Just kidding. Just kidding, that was a bad joke. All right, the Bible tells us, if the glove represents your mind, that you're to take every thought captive. But without the Spirit of God, your mind is the mindset or the mind of the flesh, right? And so if I could just illustrate it this way. I'll try to remember to put this back, but in case I forget, Trish, you're singing on the platform. Okay. If If the glove represents your mind, and you're to take every thought captive, if I start chucking balls at the glove, can the glove catch it? Right? It can't. It can't take thoughts captive. Without the Spirit of God, your mind, your mindset is flesh. If softballs are the temptation that the enemy throws your way over and over and over again, this glove on the mic stand can't catch the ball. It can't take the thought captive. It only has one way of thinking, and that's the flesh. But when you put your faith and your trust in the Spirit of God, our mind is now filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'd come and help me. You're not Patrick Mahomes, so don't try to be, all right? But if you put your faith in Christ and the Spirit of God lives within you, and this is now your mind, and you have come to faith in Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is in you, now the glove is workable because there is something greater in you than just your flesh, right? We're the temple of God. But we also have the opportunity to be powered by the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. That's what the upcoming Holy Spirit conference with Ty is all about. What seemed dead here is now alive because of the Spirit that's within him. Right? And so, if I put this hat on, right, and I'm thinking this way and not this way, when the enemy starts throwing stuff at me, throws a temptation, right? I can defend the temptation because it's not going to stick to me. Come on, throw me another. Right? Give you the higher. Right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Come on. I got the peace of Christ within me. Don't look lustfully at a woman. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, throw it. And you can defend the lies of the enemy coming your way because you're not thinking with this mindset. I got to protect my future. I got to protect my possessions. I got to protect my pride. You're thinking through the mindset of the Spirit. Yes. Right? And it protects you. It shields you. And you know what happens? If a ball comes your way because it was a bad throw, it wasn't because I couldn't catch it. Right? Temptation comes your way and it gets through. Proverbs 24:16. Though the righteous may fall seven times, the godly man gets back up. The godly woman gets back up. You will be tempted. And the enemy is going to throw temptations your way. Your temptations may not be my temptations. The things that entice you may disgust me. But the things that entice me may like, what's up with that? Right? So it's not about judging and weighing temptations. You allowed that to mess you up? It's not about doing that. It's about taking every thought captive as you're living your life. And when the enemy throws stuff your way, it doesn't have to stick. Amen. It doesn't have to define you. Take it captive. Capture that thought. You are more than your temptations. It isn't if temptations come. It's when they come. Take it captive. Function and navigate in the Spirit that lives within you. If the worship team would come, you'd bow your heads with me. Father, as we reflect this morning on on your word and on your plans and where we find ourselves in this message today. God, unless I miss my guess, there's some in the room, there's some watching online, God, that, Lord, they know temptation. They know the result of giving into temptation, how it's affected them, how it's affected others. God, they know the result of sin, as we all know the results of sin. And God, they have never known an option two way of thinking because they've never allowed you to be their Lord and Savior. They've never allowed you to have your rightful place as their creator and designer of their life. They've never allowed you to have that rightful place in God. So all they know is the mindset of the flesh. But Lord, there's something stirring within them today going, man, I have options. I can have joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, goodness functioning in my life. Not because I've tried to grit my teeth and make those things happen, but because the Spirit of the living God in me is manifesting those things and working those things out of me. Why would I not want that? And Lord, maybe that individual, if that's you, and you're like, man, I want to take that step. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I've never asked Christ to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and my Savior, and I want to do that today. If you're here in this place, the incredible thing about the love of God is that the love of God is free, meaning that it's available to everybody, that he doesn't love me more than he loves somebody else. His love is unconditional, but his love came at a great cost through what his son did and on the cross and with his death and his resurrection. And the reason Jesus went to the cross was because sin had to be paid for. Your sin, my sin, the sin of those that lived long before us. Because our good works, our own effort won't make us right before God. We're broken. But Jesus said, man, I love them so much that I'm willing to pay that price of their sin so that they can be in relationship with God, not just for today, but for all eternity. It's a free gift of salvation, but it's a costly gift. And you're like, man, you mean I don't have to work for it? I don't have to perform for it, Steve? No, you don't. It's a gift. And you're going to cherish such a gift. You're going to protect such a gift. And the cool thing is the gift giver thought you worthy enough to give himself for this gift. It's awesome. Day and you're like, man, I don't want the mindset of the flesh. I want the mind of the Spirit. I want to receive, and I need to start with receiving what Christ did for me, paying for my sin, rising again, so that I may have eternal life. If you're here, you'd say, Steve, would you just pray for me right where I'm at? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and shout out your name or anything like that, but you're like, man, would you pray for me? I want to know that love and God's grace over my life. Would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? See that hand. Any others? God, we just want to wait in your presence. Because your presence is so good. God, your love is so good. Lord, we're going to celebrate here in a couple moments with those that are making the profession through baptism. But now, Lord God, we want to just pause and pray for these that raised up their hands. God, you said in your word, if we confess with our heart and believe, or confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that But God rose Jesus from the dead. We'll be saved. So Lord, we just say to you, right where we're at, Lord, I believe. I believe in what Jesus did and who Jesus is, the perfect Son of God. He paid for my sin so that I can have eternal life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life that I may have the mind of the Spirit and not function by the mind of the flesh. Jesus' name. Amen. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask the elders, and if your spouses are here with you today, you just come and position yourself. In praying as we step into this last song, praying this morning, when we talk about temptation, I know there's some, like I said just a few moments ago, we all have our own appetites and things that try to grab a hold of us. And there's some of you that have been battling the same thing for a long time. And you're like, man, I just want to be free from that. Can that ever happen? I want to say to you, yes, it can happen. And I won't go into story after story of friends that we know or testimonies we've heard of that happening. But it can happen. Because the Spirit renews your mind. And so you continue to take those thoughts captive in the name of Christ. But if you're here and, man, you've just been struggling with a temptation, as we step to prayer here in a moment, as we step into this last song and then go out and celebrate baptism, if you've been struggling with a temptation, you don't have to share what that is. If you want to, you can with those that, if you want prayer, then feel free to. They'll hold it. It'll be confidential. But if you're like, man, I just want someone to help fight this battle with me. That's part of our problem, is we try to fight it all on our own. But if you want prayer, that. And then third is just like, you know, Steve, you talked about the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I want all that I can have of God. God, I just want you to fill me more your Holy Spirit today, so that I have this complete thinking, this right thinking all the time. Would you stand with me? Elders, spouses, if you come, just spread out. If you need prayer for any of the three areas, salvation, struggling with temptation, or being filled with the Spirit, invite you up. If there's something else that you need prayer for, I invite you up as well, and we'd love to pray for you. But before we dismiss, we're not done yet. Let's go to the Lord in the song of worship. Respond to what the Lord's been speaking to you through this service.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.